given the things that are going on around us. Let's look at Galatians chapter number 6. And we're going to go to verse number 9. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. A very familiar passage of scripture. It says, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, this particular passage is intended to motivate you to embrace the concepts of enduring, letting you know that there's a reward at the end. If you look at the latter part of that scripture, it says you shall do what? Reap. There's a reward at the end. But what's the condition of that reward? If you faint not, you cannot give up. You cannot give up. I looked at, when I was putting this lesson together some years ago, I looked at four different possibilities. The first possibility is hard work equals good pay. Because remember, you reap if you faint not. Average or so-so work equals average pay. Little work equals what? Little pay. And no work at all equals what? No pay. All right? So you have to consider this when you're thinking about the concepts of labor with this particular passage of scripture. Now notice with Galatians, the writer in verse number 7 and 8 gives us the laws of the harvest. The laws of the harvest. Those that are familiar, as we said, with planting plants or vegetables, there are laws that go along with that harvest, or the rules that are there. And Jesus, in verse number 7 and 8, applies those same rules or laws to our lives. He applies those same rules or laws to our lives. He said, "Be not deceived, God is what? Not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now that word corruption in scripture makes reference to destruction. Now we go over to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Somebody get that 5 through 8. We can see that Jesus tells us through the Apostle Paul the dangers of carnal living or carnal thinking. What'll destroy me quick? But I want to know what'll destroy me quick. Carnal living. Yeah. Fleshly or carnal living will destroy you real quick. Yes. Romans, what I say, 8 and 5. 5 through 8.
But they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh.
Alright, so now I already know the first problem. When I'm carnal, my mind is going to be on what? Carnal things. I don't care what anybody say to you. Especially when they try to tell you something spiritual. When the people are trying to get across to you something that's going to help you spiritually. When your mind is carnal, the scriptures are telling you the only thing you're going to think about is what? Carnal. In other words, I'll give you an example. We have a fast day that is getting ready to come up. When your mind is spiritual, you will not make excuses as to why you cannot accomplish that fast. But when your mind is carnal, you're going to start to go through all of the reasons why you cannot fast. You're going to say, "My stomach is hurting. I got to take my medicine." All kind of reasons, you know. The doctor said I'm dehydrated and I can't do without no water. Well, all of those are excuses. All of those excuses, and they're a sign to let you know you are not what? Spiritual. You are what? You are carnal. Because the writer said, for those that are after the flesh, they do mind the things. Their mind is on nothing but what? Fleshly things, right? Keep going.
But
those that are after the Spirit, they think about what? Spiritual things. As saints, you know, these are the things we got to be cautious about. Safeguarding our mind. Protecting our mind from things that do not help us spiritually. You know, if I got a goal to see Jesus, spiritually, what are the things that are more important to me? Those that are tarrying for the Holy Ghost? The thing that's more important to you is receiving the Holy Ghost. You know, ultimately, you can't let anything else be important to you. I don't care how people try to pull you into stuff. People may try to call you or talk to you or write you and say all of these things. But you have to say within yourself, I need the Holy Ghost. And all of this stuff that people are trying to get me involved in is not going to help me receive the Holy Ghost. Because at the end of the day, if I get myself involved in it and I die that day, I'm going to be lost. I'm going to lift up my eyes in hell, and that person or whoever's trying to get me involved, they're going to keep right on living. While you in hell, they're going to be keeping right on living. They're going to keep right on living on the earth. And guess who's the loser? You are. Because you're the one that have an understanding of the importance of getting your soul right. You have to say within yourself, I've got to cut this stuff off. If it's not going to help me be saved, I got to cut this stuff off. I got to cut the conversation off. I got to cut the information off. Because at the end of the day, it has nothing to do with my salvation. When the government says all of these things that are going on in the earth, saints got to cut it off. I'm not telling you not to educate yourself. I'm not telling you not to be informed. But I'm telling you, you need to know when to cut it off. You need to know when this stuff that they're telling you, it has nothing to do with you. You know, all the people running around in fear, it don't have nothing to do with me. Because at the end of the day, whether I get sick from this virus or this disease, it has nothing to do with my soul. I'm in church. I'm seeking Jesus to make sure that my soul is right. I want my soul to go back with Jesus when he comes. So if the government tells me to stop calling Jesus, and I know the name of Jesus is what's going to help my soul go back with him, somebody's got to be disobeyed. And I'm not going to disobey Jesus. I would rather disobey the government and go to jail than to disobey Jesus and end up in hell, right? That's the truth, saints. That's the truth. You got to keep that before yourself. You, if you're not careful, when the world is carnal, the government, world, politicians, police officers, they're not spiritual. They have nothing to do with your soul. They don't give you any information that's going to help your soul. You know, government say you can't pray in school. But shame on you if you got to go to school and you don't get somewhere and call on Jesus. Shame on you if problems come, you don't get somewhere and pray to the Lord. You might be on a job. Job say you can't pray. That don't have nothing to do with you. The job says you can't pray, but that ain't got nothing to do with me. Job can't control what's going on in my mind. Every now and then I get to myself and I call on Jesus. In my own mind, I make my petition known to the Lord. And I believe that the Lord hears my cry, because he said his ears are open to the cries of the righteous. I believe the Lord hears my cry. Therefore, it is imperative to my spiritual health, to my spiritual well-being, that I constantly keep my mind spiritual. I do not want to give over to that natural, that carnal man. Why? Because that natural, that carnal man will bring me death. According to the scripture, those that live after that flesh, they're going to die. Huh? That's right. You sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's what you're going to get. That's what's going to come into you. Don't look for another kind of pay. The Lord said, if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. Huh? That flesh is going to destroy you. Huh? That's the truth, saints. Read a little bit more of that in Romans.
And it says, because the carnal man is enmity against God.
That's right. In other words, whatever Jesus is trying to do into your life, that carnal man is doing everything it can do to resist Jesus. It's trying to block Jesus. It's trying to prevent Jesus from working inside of you. When you're down there on your knees calling on Jesus, you should be able to tell somebody about the battle that goes on in the mind while you're trying to do something spiritual. You calling on Jesus to help your spiritual man. You should be able to tell somebody when you're down there calling on Jesus, trying to build up your spiritual man. These are the kind of things that the natural man will do to you. It'll make you tired. It'll make your arms hurt. It'll make your knees hurt. It'll make your back hurt. It'll make your mouth dry. Your eyes will start itching. That's not the spiritual man, but that's the natural man. The natural man is trying to tell you, I don't want to do this. Don't you know when I was giving you all the instruction in Sunday school this morning? Some of you, I could see it in your face. The natural man didn't want to receive this. The natural man didn't want to hear it. The natural man didn't want to comply with it. But it does not change the word. The word still is the same, saints. We've got to bring ourselves under subjection to the things that Jesus tells us to do. Natural man don't want to do this. And you got to understand that tendency to do wrong is already in you. When Jesus told Adam not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that natural desire in him was already present. And the enemy knew that. The enemy went and started working on that natural desire to be something Jesus did not design it to be, right? That's the truth. That devil went and worked on that very thought. The devil didn't say, did Jesus tell you to be fruitful and multiply? Devil didn't say, did Jesus tell you to dress and keep the garden? But what did the devil say? Devil went and worked right on that tree. That tree that was going to bring them death. Huh? Then when he started showing them stuff that they didn't think about before, God knows the day that you eat this tree, your eyes is going to be open. And you're going to be as gods, knowing the difference between good and evil. That wasn't spiritual information. That was carnal information. So that lets you know what the devil feeds you. He feeds you a bunch of carnal garbage. That garbage ain't going to help your soul, but it will bring your soul into death. When she got finished feeding from Satan's table, feeding from Satan's diet plan, then her mind started shifting. She looked at that tree and started thinking about stuff she shouldn't have been thinking about. Before she talked to the devil, that tree in her mind, it couldn't be touched. It couldn't be eaten up. That was before she started talking to the devil. But when the devil got in her mind, he messed her up. He messed up her thoughts. Why? Because she started sowing to the flesh. And of that flesh, she reaped corruption, right? Flesh didn't keep her. It killed her, right? Flesh didn't keep her. It killed her. Flesh took away her peace. Where you should be at peace, the flesh will take that peace away from you. Where you should be at peace in your mind, the flesh will take peace away from you. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, when someone is giving you spiritual instruction, you might not like what they say. You might not necessarily agree on what the approach that they're saying. But consider what the scenario is. They're on the outside looking in. Huh? And they're seeing something that you may not see. And you got to thank the Lord that the Lord gave them the wisdom to show you something about yourself that you could not see. Why? Because if you didn't see it, you'll keep on sowing it. And if you keep on sowing it, it's going to destroy you. It's the truth, saints. That's why when the Lord gives you a pastor, somebody that watches for your soul, that calls you out, pulls the covers off of you, and says, this is what you need to work on. This is something that's not like Jesus. You need to humble yourself and say, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me to become the child that you want me to be, right? That's the truth, saints. You walk around all day long talking about it's not you if you want to. You're going to be the loser. Huh? Right, and I told you, you sow that flesh is going to do what? Destroy you.
Yeah.
Lord can put a disease inside of you that can't nobody cure.
Yeah.
Huh? All because you keep on feeding that flesh.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Come on, the Lord will mess your mind up.
Uh-huh.
And I mean take away the ability of your mind to think clearly.
Yeah.
Huh? To think rationally.
Yeah.
That's why every time you stand up, saints, you should say, I thank the Lord for the mind.
Yeah.
Forget it. You may not know how to tie your shoe. You may not remember what you ate last night for dinner. But you need to thank the Lord for the mind. The mind of what? The mind of what to be saved. I got a mind to call on Jesus. I got a mind to seek the Lord with everything inside of me. I'll praise him for that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
But one day I ain't had that mind to do that. Huh?
Yeah,
you lose everything. So what stuff start leaving, we losing away from you? So what stuff start falling off? Stuff start, you start losing stuff. But at the end of the day, you better make sure you keep a mind to want to be saved.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Right.
When the Lord called, just let me have a mind to want to go back with Jesus.
Right.
Huh? That's the truth. Don't be like Judas. Judas was so busy worrying about how he going to keep stuff in his pocket. And when did he end up losing? What was in his pocket and also his relationship with Jesus. Huh? Mess that mind up. He could have been on the earth living. Didn't nobody kill Judas. Judas killed himself. And how did he kill himself? Because he sold to his flesh. Right? It said, of the flesh you shall reap corruption. You're going to destroy yourself, right? You're going to self-destruct. Won't nobody destroy you. You're going to destroy yourself. You're going to be out of the church so fast you ain't going to know how you got out of it.
Amen.
All of a sudden the devil going to put it in your mind to start looking at stuff that ain't even really there. It's an illusion. It's a mirage. Huh? Start hearing stuff. You start picking stuff out. You know, little bits and pieces. You ain't paying attention to the whole message. You just start picking out bits and pieces. When the Lord say, thou shalt not kill. Huh? You just start putting out bits and pieces. Thou shalt not. Oh, see the Lord trying to stop me from doing everything. Did you hear what the Lord says? He said not to do it. Not to do what? Everything. He just told me not to. He said specifically, thou shalt not kill. What's wrong with you? Huh? You don't agree with Jesus that you should be about life? But he always putting these restrictions on me. Tell me what I cannot do. When I was in the world, I could do it. Well, Lord brought you in the place of life now. And he's telling you these are the things that you should do to live. You shouldn't do certain things that are going to bring death. Huh? That's why saints don't smoke. That's why we don't drink. That's why we don't do drugs. Because these things mess your mind up. World done told you to do these things, you will die. Huh? Now, Lord said, I ain't come at you to kill you. Nobody but the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy you. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have that more abundantly, right? That's the truth, saints. Come on, read a little bit more.
I have to go back to 6.
Yes.
That's for to be carnally minded is death.
Yeah, what is that carnal mind, saints?
Death.
It's death. Fleshly mind is death. Huh? Well, this God of such and such called me and started telling me this. Well, are they saved? This is the stuff you should be asking yourself. Question one, do they have the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
They ain't got no Holy Ghost. You already know the information that they're giving you is carnal. Huh? Come on. Everybody understand that? You need to ask yourself one simple question. Do they have the Holy Ghost? And if the answer to that question is no, the only other information they can give you is carnal, not spiritual. It's not coming from Jesus. It's carnal. Huh? So the writer is telling you to be carnally minded is death. The information they're giving you is a bunch of death. It's not going to help you live. It's going to kill you. Yes, God, you ought not talk like that. Well, I didn't say this in the book. Lord said it. Lord said to be carnally minded is what? Death. You should be asking yourself, if they were so spiritual, why aren't they in here with you? Why aren't they calling Jesus with you? Why aren't they living the kind of life that you're living? Obviously, because they're carnal. Huh? They feel it's more profitable for them to live in the flesh than it is for them to live for Jesus. Huh? Come on, saints. That's why I was looking at some of those messages, postings. Saints kept posting stuff about the virus. And I kept saying, well, you got the Holy Ghost. If you should be telling somebody anything, it should be what thus saith the Lord. What did the Lord say about sicknesses? What did Jesus say about diseases? He didn't tell us to live in fear. Jesus said, bring them to me. Ah! Come on, government say shut your church down. But Jesus said, bring them to me. That's what Jesus said, right? And who would you rather believe? Who do you want at the end of the day to say? You're not going to stand before government. You're going to stand before Jesus. That's the truth, saints. Right, I'm going to ask you, whose report are you going to believe? Huh? Isaiah 53:1. Going over there, Isaiah 53:1. It's a question that's asked to you every single day. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the report of the CDC or the FBI? Huh? They don't know nothing. All they know about is a bunch of the fleshly stuff. They ain't got nothing to do with your soul. Huh? Lord told you, you better fear the one that can destroy both body and soul. Amen. Don't you fear the one that can destroy just your body. Right. You better fear the one that can destroy both body and soul. And Jesus said, all souls are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the word, right? That's what you got to keep at the front of your mind, right?
Right.
Better get out of your sin. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. Sin is more deadly than coronavirus. Huh? Sin is more deadly than Ebola. Huh? Than West Nile virus. Mad cow disease. AIDS. Huh? You can live with AIDS. Huh? You can live a long time with medicine with AIDS. But you can't exist in eternity in your sins. When you die in your sin, you go to hell. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. There are no do-overs. There are no second breaths. There are no more opportunities to say the saving name. Do you realize when you die and go to hell, you can't even say the saving name? The name Jesus is a saving name. But when you die and go to hell, the name Jesus can't even help you, right? Huh? Name Jesus can't even help you in hell. You better call him right now. Huh? You better get it fixed in your mind. I gotta call Jesus right now. Huh? And not just let Jesus be something that just comes out. Huh? I'll be hearing you. You know our brother. You'd be so excited about praise. I'll be hearing you. I'll be seeing you. But one of these days, brother, I'm looking for you to be sincere. When you not, you be telling the saints, what's his name? Why? You got a loud, strong voice. Loud, strong voice. You say, what's his name? What's his name? And I'm looking for you one day to be sincere. Because there's no way in the world you could be yelling Jesus like that and it don't get down in your soul. That name will save you. It will deliver you from sin. I don't care what chains the devil got on your mind. When you say Jesus, the devil has got to flee. Sin's chains have got to be broken. Lord said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? Ain't nowhere in the world you can be calling Jesus like that and not be saved. Ain't nowhere in the world you can be calling Jesus like that and not be saved. Something inside is trying to block the Lord. Huh? And it ain't even nobody else. Huh? Come remember, you can't worry about me. Because I'm my own soul.
Right.
But something inside of your mind is blocking that saving name from doing what it wants to do. Write it and say, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That man at the gate called Beautiful, he only heard the name one time. He heard that name one time. When he heard that name, he got up out of his seat. His ankle bones received strength. All because he called on that name, right? Don't you tell me the name ain't got no power. Name has got a lot of power. But the only thing is, it's your mind, it's your flesh that tries to stop the name from working. You've got to deny your flesh, right? You got to come out of yourself.
Hallelujah.
You got to forget about yourself.
Yes.
That the Lord's name, His name might saturate your mind. That it might penetrate the hardness of your heart, right? Break up that fallow ground. Is that what Hosea say?
Yes.
Hosea, going over to Hosea really quick. Hosea. I don't know. There you know it. Hosea, what is it? What is it? 11, that's it. Is it 11? Hosea, break up that fallow ground. But it's time to seek the Lord. And till the Lord do what? Rain down righteousness. Come on, it's the truth. You got to break that ground up. Which one is it, son? Is it Hosea or Haggai? One is Hosea, I believe it is. Hosea what? Y'all done? That's it. Go ahead. What is it? 11 and what? 12 and 11? Read it. What does it say? I don't think it's 12 and 11. Y'all find it, y'all. What is that? What is that?
A 12.
What chapter is it?
11.
Hosea chapter number 10. That's it. 10 and 12. Y'all had some of them numbers right. Hosea chapter number 10. See, it's still talking about the laws of the harvest. What you sow, that shall you also reap. Now, the writer's trying to tell you how to reap a blessing. Don't you want to be blessed, saints? I got stuff in my life that I need the Lord to work out. Come on! You got stuff in your own life that you need the Lord to work out for you. And the writer's trying to tell you the law of the harvest. Sow to yourself and what? And do what's right. I don't care what these devils around you try to persuade you to do. You do what's right. Stand on righteous ground. Let that devil know on Christ a solid rock. On Jesus a solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but I'm a holy, completely lean on Jesus, right? On Christ the solid rock. Christ is my solid rock, saints. Other foundations can no man lay. You can't lay another foundation. Everything else is quicksand. It'll break up. But if you build on Jesus, the devil can't destroy you, right? I don't care how hard he attacks. Devil can't destroy you, not when you're standing on Jesus. You let the devil know. No.
Yes.
I love what you said. Somebody told that brother to stop paying his tithe.
Jesus.
He said, you done lost your mind.
Jesus.
I know what the Lord has done for me.
Wow.
Now, what if you would have listened to that foolishness?
Yes.
The fool has said in his heart that there is no God, right? It's a bunch of fools out here, saints.
Yes. Yes.
And you can't let them get into your mind.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The fool is going to talk. But you need to recognize who and what it is. You are a fool. And keep it right on moving. Who you? Keep it right on moving. I don't owe Satan nothing. You don't owe the devil nothing. Tell him where you're staying at and keep it moving. That's the truth. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Hold up. So if I do my part, Lord say, I'm going to be merciful to you. Hey, well, Lord, I ain't getting the mercy. The Lord said, check what you're sowing. Check what you are putting out. When you put out what's right, you'll get back what? Mercy. Huh? I know a lot of you need some mercy. I hear it in your testimonies. You say, Elder Scudder, I got this that's before me. I got this test. I got this decision that needs to be made. Yes. That sounds like to me you need a whole lot of mercy. Yes. Huh? Yes. When the decision of your well-being is in the hand of somebody that do not know Jesus, right. You need the Lord to get in their mind. Right. Huh? Right. I mean God himself. Yes. To get into their mind and change their mind. Without them even realizing, they'll write down the word approved and push it to the side. Somebody be saying, how did you approve that? Don't be questioning me, just put it on to the side. Moving on. I don't know how he approved it, because the last one he didn't approve like this. That's when you can say it was nobody but Jesus. Jesus don't work that thing out in my favor. Why? Because I sow righteousness. Is that what the scripture say? Sow righteousness. And you will reap mercy, right? It'll come back to you. You ain't got to wonder, is it going to come? It will come back to you. Why? Because the Lord said it, right? You will reap what? Mercy. And what does the next one say? Break up your fallow ground. The Lord is trying to tell you what's preventing you from sowing right. See, it's amazing. The Lord tells you the benefit before he tells you the work that has to be done. But if you remove the benefit out the way, remove sow yourself in righteousness and reap mercy out the way, and you will find what you need to do. What do I need to do, Jesus? You need to break up your fallow ground. That's some hard work in it. That lets you know your mind can be stubborn. Your mind can be stiff-necked. Don't you worry about nobody else. You worry about your own mind. Your mind can be stubborn. It can be stiff-necked. And it prevents Jesus from working. And the only way you can let the word get into a stubborn mind is you got to break it up. Break up your will. That's what the Lord said. Not my will, but let your will be done, right? Break up your will, right? Break up your stubborn will. Break up your fallow ground. That fallow ground is hard. It's resistant. That means that ground ain't had no water in a long time. That dirt is hard like a rock. That means you got to come at it with something hard. Ain't nothing harder than the word of God. The word of God is like a pitchfork. It's like a hammer. It'll break you down. Then I tell you, I was talking to the brother on the way to church today. He said, were you talking to me? I said, no, I wasn't even talking about you. Didn't have you in my mind. But what I said, if the shoe fit, put it on. If you feel convicted all about something that came out of my mouth, put the word on. Let the letter realize the Lord is trying to break up my fallow ground. He's trying to remove my stiff will. Something is trying to prevent Jesus from having his way, right? Yeah. So you can sit around all day long and talk about it ain't you. Oh, but it is. The minute it ain't you come across your mind, that's your cue to let you know it is. If I say wicked, you say it ain't me. Yes, it is. No good. That ain't me. Yes, it is. Cheater. That ain't me. I don't cheat for you, Jesus. Yes, you do. Liar. That ain't me, Lord. Yes, you are. Y'all done got real quiet. Guess y'all saying in your mind, no, it ain't me, no, it ain't me. But the Lord is trying to tell you, yes, it is. That tendency is in you. That tendency is in you. It's called the no good thing. Meaning no good gonna come from it, right? And that's why you call Jesus. People ask you all day, you got to be on your knees calling Jesus like that? Yes, I do. Because I know what I'm working with. Inside of me is a no good thing. And you don't want to see that creature. What the Hulk say? You don't want to see me when I'm angry. I'm a horrible creature.
Jesus.
I'm a horrible creature. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to act. I don't know how to think. When that no good thing get control, right? But I thank God through Jesus. He gives me the victory, right? Victory over what? Over myself, right? Over myself, he gives me the victory. Break up your fallow ground. Why? It's time. Can you put this off to tomorrow?
No.
Right? If you look up this same scripture tomorrow, it's going to say the same thing. This scripture is always going to be talking to you in the present tense. Ain't that amazing? You can have this scripture on your deathbed, and it's still going to be saying the same thing. That means to say, you need to tell your body you can go right on and die. But let my mind get it fixed. It's time to seek the Lord. Right. Elder Scotty, your body is dying, but it's still time to seek the Lord. Right. And seek him till when? Till he rain down righteousness, right? In other words, till the Lord opens up the heaven and helps break up my fallow ground, right? I need the rain, right? Isn't that that song you sing, sister? We need the rain. What is the purpose of the rain? It's to make my ground soft, right? It's to break up that fallow ground. You need that rain. You don't need no any kind of rain. You need the rain to come from Jesus. Huh? That's the truth. You need the rain to come from the Lord himself. You need that kind of rain like it did in the days of Noah. That's the truth. You needed the rain like that sometime in your life. Till the Lord break up everything. Till the Lord breaks up everything and kills everything around. Till there ain't nothing left but you and the ox. Who is the ox? Jesus is the ox. Ain't nothing left but me and Jesus. Now the Lord said, now get inside of me and let's ride this storm out, right? Get inside of me and let's ride this storm out. Yeah, because you got to go through. Lord, you got to go through. Amen. Elder Scudder, you got to go through. I don't care how long it is, you got to go through, right? That's the truth, saints. But when you go through, it is not an excuse. You can't. Don't let the flesh. Do not let the flesh get in the way. The flesh will tell you, don't ask for help. Flesh will tell you, don't do this. But no, do not let the flesh get in the way. Think spiritual. Think spiritual. But I don't want everybody to know my business. Forget your business. Your soul is at stake. And I just want my soul to be saved, right? Your bees knees. Like you're a multimillionaire. You ain't got no business. You ain't got a lick of business. You ain't going through nothing. Nobody else ain't going through nowhere. Same afflictions you going through. Somebody else in the church is going through the same thing. Your business. You right. You and your business is going to lift up your eyes in hell. Rich man had a whole lot of business. He had all kind of bonds and everything else. Business. Yeah, fine linen, purple, right? Fair sumptuously. Business. But when he got to hell, he didn't think nothing about that business, did he? Business wasn't even his mind. He went to the poor dog liquor. Said, let him dip his finger in some water. And just cool my tongue, right? Why? Because my soul. He ain't say my food is burning up. He ain't say my fine linen is burning up. He ain't say my bonds are burning up. Why? Because they wasn't there with him. They was right here on earth. Who was getting his bonds? His family. Say, look what Billy done left us. Billy is dead. Look what Billy done left us. A whole barn full of barley. Then they just said, it's my. You can't have that. You can't have that. Somebody shoot a pal. Look at that shabby. Why are you shooting? Because I want that barley. I hate you. I can't stand you. He ain't like you no way. All that fighting going on. Oh, who bought me? The rich man. Right. And the rich man, all he wanted is some water. Right. The coolest. He didn't even think about that bottle.
That's right.
He didn't even think about them purple. Because he's dead now.
Right.
Where the purple at? Still on the earth.
Right.
Birds that came and got his purple. Pulled the strings all out. And what they do with the strings, out of the scud, they made themselves a nest.
Yep.
Huh? The mice that got up on the table and ate all of his good food. Huh? People come in the house, mice stretched out, fat. Ooh. They had him a good old meal. Where is he at? In hell? Is he thinking about his food? No. He just wants somebody's finger. Somebody that's dirty. Lazarus wasn't no clean looking fella, because the scripture said the dogs licked his sores. He looked like a beggar. According to the scripture, all he wanted was the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But look at what he's asking for. In hell, send Lazarus to dip his finger. Send him to dip his dirty finger. Huh? In water to cool my... In other words, he got real humble down in hell, right? He wasn't humble like that up here. He had that kind of attitude that couldn't nobody tell him nothing. Huh? You owe me. That's the kind of attitude he had. I don't owe you nothing. You owe me. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want. Soul kept saying, got to get yourself right. Got to get yourself. Soul, relax. Be quiet. Leave me alone. I done secured, a future for us. I'm going to build, I'm going to tear down this barn, I'm going to build up another one. Lord came to that fella before he could finish the blueprints, D. Before he could finish the blueprints, the Lord came to that fella that night and said, you fool, your soul is required of you. Huh? He died that night, right? Something about it, isn't it? Do we want to live like that? No. Help me not to think like that, Jesus. Huh? Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. And what? Huh? Till he come. And rain down what? Something to think about, isn't it, saints? The law of the harvest. Let it work for your benefit, saints. You say, well, the scudder, I keep calling Jesus and nothing is happening. I'm trying to tell you because your ground is too hard. Your ground is too hard. It's too brittle. If you do it the way Jesus said do it, it'll break up. Huh? How do I know it? He said you keep on doing what? Seeking him. Seeking him when? Till. Till he do what? Rain down what? Righteousness. Huh? Is that what the word? I'm not telling y'all nothing. It's not in the book. It's right there. Till he rain down righteousness. Then that's what the top part of that scripture means when it's saying, sow to yourselves in righteousness. And then you'll do what? You'll reap in mercy. All right? All right. Where you all at? I think I'm just about done. I done gave y'all enough time. I gave you all Romans, didn't I? All right. Did y'all finish reading Romans? What verse did you stop at? I think you stopped at verse number 5 or 6, didn't you? Carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Give me verse number 8 or 7. Mm-hmm. Carnal mind. Yeah, we went over that already. It's not subject to the law of God. That's truth. That's right. And remember, what testimony did Enoch have? That he pleased Jesus. Before translation, he had this testimony that he pleased Jesus. Now, if you want to be changed, you got to have that same kind of testimony. You don't need to worry about pleasing me. Okay? Don't do that. Don't waste your time. I'm trying to tell you, you never will be able to please me. All right? Well, the Elder Scudder, if I bring you enough apples, sure enough, you'd be pleased. No, I won't. Tell you, first of all, I don't want your apples because I can't eat them. I'm allergic to them. Right? So don't worry about trying to please me, right? Please Jesus, right? Huh? Don't worry about trying to cook for me because it's not going to work. You might make something I might not like. I'm not going to tell you I don't like it. But you best believe when I'm finished eating, I'm going to be looking at it and say, I didn't like this. I don't want no more of it. And I hope they don't bring me no more of it. Huh? They let you know you can't please me. Right? Huh? You better be glad you got a pastor that's telling you this up front. I'm trying to tell you, you cannot please me. Don't waste your time. You cannot please me. Now, if you can't please me, I'm telling you, I can't please you. Right? I can't. And you're not going to waste, I'm not going to waste my time and energy trying to. I cannot please you. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough energy. I got to go to bed. I got a life, right? Huh? Can you get this for me? No, I cannot. One of these days, I'm going to tell you, no, I can't. Then I don't want you to get mad. The elders, cause I thought you were trying to help. No, I am trying to help you, but I can't do everything for you. Some things you're going to have to do for yourself, right? Amen. It's the truth. That ain't got nothing to do with anything. I still love you. But I'm trying to tell you, I cannot please you. Huh?
Amen.
And it's a work. I'm going to tell you how serious it gets. I can't even please my wife. Amen. And she definitely can't please me. It's mission impossible, isn't it? She'll tell you. She give and give and still he wants some more. Huh? That's just the inevitable reality, saints. That's a reality. You, nothing anybody can do for you is going to ever be able to please you except for Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy you. He can make you feel full. I know when I received the Holy Ghost, I was full. I didn't want anything else. I didn't want nothing else. Didn't wasn't looking for nothing else. You say, well, I received the Holy Ghost, but when I got up, I wanted to, you ain't really receiving no Holy Ghost then. Because I know when you really receive the Holy Ghost, you don't want nothing. You just be somewhere busy smiling. They just cuss by outside. Oh, I just thank Jesus I got the Holy Ghost. Huh? But like, your house is on fire. What? You ain't worried about just that. I got the Holy Ghost. Huh? Right. Child, get some old stuff. I ain't worried about it. Right. Then everybody get out. You be just smiling. Folks looking at you. Have you lost your mind? You must be crazy. I got the Holy Ghost. That's just how they be too. You receive the Holy Ghost, everybody just be, you just be smiling from ear to ear. Ain't worried about a thing. But Lord, let that flesh get to working. Start dipping out your cup. And that old miserable you come back to life. Then that's what they say. You got to go back to the altar and say, Lord, do it again. Do it again. Fill me back up again, Lord Jesus. Huh? Give me another filling. Refilling, right? That's what they call refill. Huh? It'd be nice if you could put gas in the car. You ain't got to put no more in there. But the minute you go a couple of days, that thing be going back. And you say, Lord, I ain't got no more money. They ain't going to stop the needle from moving. You ain't got no more money. The car telling you, stay still then. Stop driving it then. But I got to get from point A to point B. Well, that means you got to put some more gas in it then. And have that work for your car. What about your soul? Right. Every now and then you need to come back to the refilling station. Right. And say, Lord, do it again. Fill me up again, Lord Jesus. Fill me up so there ain't no more room for myself. Huh? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. You don't want no more room for yourself because self will destroy you. Those that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. Do not self destruct. Don't destroy yourself, okay? Don't do that, saints. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. The Lord has given you a remedy to overcome that thing that's trying to destroy you. And that's his name. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a what? A strong tower. The righteous do what? We run into that name and we find what? Safety. We look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from who? The Lord. All right? So keep that before yourself, saints.